My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hello, everyone. Happy New Year.
What is up, you cool cats and kittens? I'm so happy you're here to listen to our mini-so 3.
Mini-so 3. Yes, I did. And now I'm copying it. This is Lena's favorite Christmas song, even though it's about New Year's. What's up, everyone?
I am gonna cry every time I hear that song. I don't know why I don't have any memories attached, but it's so good to my heart.
That song makes me emotional because it reminds me of the end of It's a Wonderful Life, and that movie rocks.
Oh, I know you love that movie.
All right. What's up, everyone? My name is Ian Allred. I am, in fact, you may have heard rumors about this. I'm here to confirm that the rumors are, in fact, true. I am a Gleek.
Whoa.
Please stop messaging me about it. I want to address it publicly so that everyone will leave me alone.
I just bent my fingernail back.
What? Ew,
I just bent my nail. You can't see it. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I'm having fingernail troubles, but I am, sorry to say, a big old Gleek. What is up? I'm really excited for this minisode because, hear me out, holidays got me down. I had such a crappy day yesterday and I listened to these voicemails and like cried for an hour out of like love and joy and happiness. So I'm really excited to do this.
So we got to get into this because we got a whole bunch of feedback to cover this week.
Another reason I was crying yesterday, it's because I'm so grateful about how much feedback we've been getting. And the previous weeks, we have been able to listen to all of the voicemails that we've gotten. But this week, I don't know what happened. I think you guys have just been like excited about the minisodes, but we have so many voicemails. And they make us so incredibly happy. You have no idea. Ian and I have listened to them, all of them, multiple times and, like, taken notes on all of them. And we love and cherish them all. But truly, in the interest of time, it's just not a reality to keep it mini. We're gonna so we whittled them down to the ones that, like, have, like, points of discussion. So in the future, when you send us a voicemail, we so appreciate that you love the podcast. Like, more than anything, like, that is, I can't tell you how happy that makes me that you guys love the podcast. But if you want to be featured on the minisode, tell us like something you thought about the episode. Did you have like a different take than us? Like, do you have a question for us? You can send us one of those. But it also, if you want to just send us like how much you love us, you can send us that too. I'll listen to it and be really happy.
Here's the deal.
We're never going to tell you to not send us voicemails. We listen to all of
them. Oh, absolutely.
We're never going to tell you to not send us emails. We read all of them. We're never going to tell you to stop complimenting us. That is our lifeblood.
Yeah, you don't understand. We love
but like Lena said,
but just in the interest of time,
we are trying to keep it, you know, shorter than the actual episode. So, and let me tell you, Lena, when she says that she was crying about it last night, not much of an exaggeration. We were texting about it until 3 a.m. That we felt so bad having to cut down the number, and it was so hard for us to choose. So if you sent in something that isn't featured this week, and in the future, if you send in something that isn't featured, please know we did listen to it. We did read it. We did really appreciate it. We are sorry.
Yeah.
Speaking of the interest of time, let's kick this thing
off. Yes, we gotta get going.
This first email is from Leah Michelle, question mark. Can you imagine if this was Leah Michelle doing, just putting on a different voice? Let's hit it. Here we go.
Hi, Ian and Lena. My name is Leah. My pronouns are she, her. And I was just listening to the Dream On podcast, and I had to stop in the middle and record this because I came to the realization that I think I have shared a stage with the Ian Allred. And this is because he was talking about his performance with Neil Patrick Harris. And I was like, oh my gosh, me too. And then he was like, it was at Candlelight at Epcot a couple of years ago. And I said, oh my gosh, me too. So I just wanted to share that little fact. I thought it was very fun. I went with my high school choir. I think I was like a sophomore. But yeah, I love the podcast. Very entertaining. I've been binging all the episodes. I'm finally caught up. Yes. Bye.
Leah, my old performing chum, my old co-star, how are you? I will say, I did Candlelight. That's the choir, for those who don't remember. In Dream On, I talked about how I did a choir for Christmas when I worked at Disney World. I worked there in 2017. So if I know that NPH does it every year. So if it was 2017, you are correct. If it wasn't, I'm so sorry, but know that my essence was on that stage at some point.
Yeah, you pissed all over the stage at Epcot. Your essence lives
there.
The
reason I don't work at Disney World is I got fired for peeing all over the stage at Epcot during Candlelight Processional.
Epcot is the prettiest girl in school.
I couldn't help myself. Okay.
You know, your coworkers with everybody. What
I
the know. Heck?
Everyone's Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon for me are one. 1 degree of separation.
Yeah. Do you know your Kevin Bacon number?
No. Do you know yours?
I do.
What is it?
So a person I went to high school with did a short film with someone who was in a movie with Kevin Bacon.
What?
So that. So, and then you've worked with me.
Oh, so, okay, well, now boop, I'm happy about
boop,
that.
Boop, boop, yeah.
One time I found out there's some, like, international theater database, like, you know, the International Movie Database, IMDb, but they have one
heard
for theater.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And if you've worked professionally in theater, you are on it, so you're on it. And
I'm on it.
You can do, like, the 6 degrees of separation through that.
IBDB?
It's not IDBD.
Okay.
Because I think that's just Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have, but.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What was your Broadway debut?
It was in the original cast of Showboat. You can type in any actor and it will give you your degrees of separation. Give me an actor right now.
Adam Driver.
Okay. So. Here is my degrees of separation from your husband, Adam Driver. I was in Big River, and the guy who played Huck's dad was in a production of The Lieutenant of Inishmore with Kristen Milioti. And Kristen Milioti was in The Retributionists with Adam Driver. I am 1, 2, 3 degrees away from Adam Driver. More exciting to me is the fact that I'm 2 degrees away from Kristen Milioti.
Yeah, but that's really cool. I need to look up me. So my number for Adam Driver is 4. So I was in... Wait, it's you now.
I know, it's through me, I figured, because we were in Joseph together. How does it feel to know that I am the one tethering you to Adam Driver?
It also is toggling between
No, it's Michael just Harding me. No, it's, Samantha it's Allred. Just me. It's just me.
Just you.
How does it feel to know that if
someday
if
it's going to be one?
If we had not met, you would have no connection to Adam Driver.
Oh, you're so right.
I know, right? Let's get on to our next voicemail. This voicemail is from Georgia.
Hi, guys. My name is Georgia, and my pronouns are she, her. I can't remember which episode this was, but I really enjoyed it when you were talking about MBTI personality types. It's something I kind of came obsessed with over lockdown, so I had to look up which Glee character shares my personality type, INFP, and it turns out I'm Tina Cohen Chang. You guys have enlightened me and really helped me appreciate her as a character and the potential she had in the first couple of seasons, so now I'm very happy to have a personality type. Though it does mean that if I was a character on Glee, the writers would have ignored me most of the time because they don't know how to write introverted nerds without making them loud and obnoxious. But anyways, thank you so much for doing this podcast. I'm really enjoying it and I can't wait for the more episodes. Okay, bye.
Georgia, you really put me through a think-you-think after I listened to this voicemail. You are so right. This show does not know what to do with an introvert.
Oh, it totally doesn't, yeah.
Every introverted character either gets completely thrown aside, like Quinn. Quinn is an introvert, and she gets, like, pretty tossed aside in the show. Or, like, Tina, they can't figure what to do, so they just make her, like you said, super obnoxious in later seasons. It's just, like, I don't know, the writing for, like, their writing style, like Ryan Murphy and Ian Brennan and Brian Falchuk, is so, like, bombastic and in your face that when they have a character who isn't super outgoing, they're like, I don't know. I guess they just kind of stand there. And you know what? They
just kind of stand there, yeah.
As an introvert, who, to be fair, is also bombastic and annoying, it gets on my nerves.
Yeah, you are the loudest introvert I've ever met, I think. Which I think that's a compliment. I so appreciate that people are seeing how amazing of a character Tina could be and how wronged this woman was, you know? Like, it's like, I think one of the biggest faults of this show is how, like, they did so many characters so wrong, especially Tina, especially our introverted characters, you know, like it's a tale of teenagers, you know, we should be talking about all kinds. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's annoying that the show is about outsiders.
Yes. They should all be introverts. They're outsiders, you know?
Well, not necessarily, because like Rachel tend to be outsiders because they are so loud and in your face.
Yes, because they're so loud. Yeah,
but totally. You are correct that many outsiders are quiet and shy and introverted. And it's annoying that the show, like, quote unquote, is like, it champions outsiders. And yet it's like, but I only champion outsiders who are loud and they get rewarded. Whereas the much more common outsider who is just like really shy and reserved doesn't ever get any attention. Annoying. Yeah.
Thank you, Georgia, for your message. I really appreciate it.
Up next, we're going to pepper in some emails as we go. So up next, we got our very first email for this minisode. We've had them in the past, everyone.
Okay. So with reading names, I am just going to give it the old college try. I'm so sorry if I say your name incorrectly, but I will try because you deserve it. I'm so sorry. So this email is from, I think, Nayeli. Let me know if I'm totally wrong in that, but that's what I'm going to say. Okay. Hey, this is Nayeli. I'm from California. Sorry, not an international listener. She, her. I've just finished listening to all the episodes, and your podcast is so funny. I kept pausing it to tell my sister something you guys said, and she gets so annoyed. I actually had seen you on TikTok one day and finally decided to listen while doing an essay, and I almost turned the essay in late because I was laughing and kept pausing it to tell my sister something from the podcast. I love that so much. I agree with basically all of your opinions so far, and some of them I just go along with what you say because I'm not a theater kid and don't know anything about that, which is why I used to hate Rachel, but now I hate her less because I understand her more. I'm still not the biggest fan of her, but I don't hate her like I used to. Anyway, I actually wanted to talk about the Mercedes story where she had an eating disorder and they handled it poorly, but a lot of people skip over Santana and her eating disorder that the characters all know about and treat it like it's so normal that she doesn't eat. later throughout the show, they say lines that reference it, but not many people pay attention to it. Also, as a Santana stan, season 2 and 3 is where she will be talked about more, and I'm excited for that, but we might disagree there. I also love how you guys go into detail about your opinions, and you don't just say you simply hate it. Anyway, those are some of my thoughts. This is really long. I'm sorry. I love the podcast. It's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for
your email, Nayeli. I honestly, and full disclosure, I have not watched the rest of the show as critically as I'm watching season 2 right now. To be really frank, I had never noticed the stuff with Santana. So I am looking forward to looking at that critically and like having those conversations with you guys. Because on like this show is so funny about that kind of stuff. They just like sweep it under the rug. Like I'm not even surprised that that happened. And I'm not even surprised that I didn't notice it.
Just a blanket statement for the entire minisode that has literally nothing to do with what you said, Nayeli. But two things you said are a good segue. You talked about something that we always love is when people say that they don't hate Rachel as much as they used to from this podcast.
I cannot express to you how much joy that brings me because I feel like I was Rachel. And when people are mean about Rachel, I take it personally. Like Rachel is not a good person. We should not make excuses for Rachel ever. But also like, she's just a kid.
Mm-hmm. And you also say at the end that you like how we like go into detail about stuff instead of just saying that we hate it, which also is something I really appreciate you saying, because that's mm-hmm. always been my issue with criticism of Glee and just criticism in general. My thing is always, you don't have to like anything. Like something can simply not be your cup of tea. That's fine. And you can say that. No one can be like, you're wrong for not liking it. But if you say that something is bad, you are now stating as a fact that it is bad, and you better back it up with some reasons. Mm-hmm. All of this to say that Lena and I talked a lot before we recorded this about how we appreciate these minisodes because it allows a lot of people to give their perspective and it opens up a lot of understanding. And like how you said, Nayeli, that like you understand Rachel more. You still don't like her, but like you hate her less. And so we really love these episodes that it allows us to hear from people who have different life experiences from our own, who view the world a different way than us. And it will lead to disagreements and opinions and people having takes that like you might disagree with. And we just ask in general that much like how every time we give a hot take on the podcast, we're always like, this is just my opinion. It's okay if you disagree. If someone sends in a take on the minisode that you disagree with, just be respectful of it, you know?
Definitely. Yeah.
Like, we want this to be a safe space where people can share their different perspectives and disagree with each other. And obviously, like, we're going to make sure that, like, it is all done respectfully.
Absolutely.
I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
No, I totally know what you're trying to say here. I so appreciate this email because, like, it is my absolute pet peeve when people do stuff like that, where they're like, that show is stupid and you're dumb for liking it, you know? And I oftentimes like have a really tough time, like, oh my gosh, like yesterday, here's a little anecdote about my life. I was eating dinner with my family and some people started being really mean about my favorite Star Wars movie. And I cried about it. And it wasn't like we were having a conversation about like good parts about it. It was like, you're stupid for liking it. And like, that movie is stupid and you're dumb for liking it. And I take that kind of stuff really personally, because like the media that we consume and the media that we love and the media that comforts us, like, is so ingrained in who we are as people. So I think it's really imperative that we are respectful of people's opinions about that kind of stuff, whether they're good or bad. And like, you know, if I like something that Ian doesn't, it doesn't mean that Ian's wrong or I'm wrong. It just means we're, you know, we're different and we should share perspectives about why we like it or why we don't, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, there it is. Let's get on to Amanda's voicemail.
Amanda.
Hi, Ian and Lena. My name is Amanda. My pronouns are she, her, and I have some thoughts about the theatricality episode. I'm a real life actual theater teacher. I teach middle school. I don't teach high school or whatever the hell these kids' ages are. I don't teach them. I teach middle school. But anyway, I love this episode, and I am recording this message before you guys post your episode, so I really hope that it doesn't turn out to be problematic and my opinion sucks, but I love this episode. When they start to sing Born This Way, I was literally crying, and then when we have fucking hero of the day, Kurt's dad, coming in and just ripping Himbo King Finn a new asshole. It's my favorite. Yeah, love this episode. Loving the Lady Gaga theme. Loving Bert, you know, his red carpet moment. I also personally know someone who worked with both of you at a undisclosed theater company recently. And this person said that they love you and that you are great people and that Ian has, quote, enough theater kid energy to power an entire city. Love you guys a whole lot. I think you guys are so freaking funny. I'm sorry I swore so much. I get really passionate when I talk about Queen. I start swearing. I think you guys are great. Thank you so much for a wonderful podcast and for helping me get out of the quarantine sadness. Also, you should start calling Will Zaddy Schuster again because that's so fucking funny. Love you. Bye.
Amanda.
I love that.
Who? DM us. We have to know.
Literally, for like days, we're like, who could it have been? Because we know what theater company it was at. We know what show they were in, but who? I feel like I heard her voice and I felt like it sounded like my voice. She must be from Utah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not to like disclose. Did you hear that?
No, but I, you also have spent much more time in Utah than I have, so.
Truth.
This is from Felix. I remembered a point that I think Ian made in an earlier episode that I heard on TikTok, and that's why I started listening to the podcast. But Kurt being predatory towards Finn should not have happened. I feel like Kurt's character was literally made to show acceptance and encourage people to see what it's really like for gay people, yet at the same time they have said, yep, the only openly gay character in the show is predatory, stereotype that all gay people fancy you, confirmed. And I think this plot would have been 10 times better if it wasn't based around this revolutionary gay character that was one of the first of its time. Like, if they had to do this plot, at least don't do it in season one, where this is a lot of people's first view on LGBTQ plus characters. And again, in this episode, Kurt does nothing wrong. This whole thing feels like it's just Finn rightfully having trouble settling in, and they've turned it back to this predatory storyline, making out Finn as having these issues just because Kurt is gay, brushing over the fact that Finn is having trouble adjusting to this new household. Like, yeah, I do think Finn has internalized homophobia, and they carry it into season two where he doesn't want Kurt to sing with Sam because he thinks Sam will get bullied for it, but they should have looked into why else Finn might be acting this way.
Yeah.
Felix, I so appreciate this perspective. I so appreciate your opinion. And I also agree that it is, like, common to, I think it's common for, like, queer teens to have unrequited feelings towards, like, straight people, yeah. And that's not bad.
Absolutely.
And no. It's not a bad thing, but I think you're right that, like, this was a show that was airing on Fox, a very conservative station, in 2009, a very different world. There was exactly one out gay character on the show at the time, and it just maybe, like you said, maybe save that plot line for when there are multiple gay characters later.
Yeah, totally.
Because, I don't know, it's a whole big issue, and I don't have the answers. But it is kind of, like you said, it is kind of like a super conservative person who's watching Fox and isn't aware that they know any gay people and is afraid that all gay people are trying to turn them, then turn on the TV and the one gay character is like, kind of a little bit trying to turn his straight friend gay, and then they're
before
like,
before they
I
had even gotten
it.
To know the gay character too. Like, you know, I agree with that. I think Kurt deserves better, and Kurt should have had something before this big, because truly this is like, other than like him coming out, this has been like the first big plot with Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just Kurt deserves better. I think you're so right. Yeah. All right. So we also got another message about the Kurt plot line, and I'll read it to you. So this is from Ray. He says, as a gay man, I hate how Kurt is treated as the victim in theatricality, at least in the Furt plot line, because he's wrong and he knows he's wrong. It's like when Ross gets called homophobic for not wanting to support his ex-wife's marriage to the woman she had an affair with.
That's a reference to Friends, everyone.
Yeah. Kurt is a very predatory gay in season one. Like, I think him having a crush on Finn is a fine plot line to have. I and many other young gay kids can relate to crushing on unavailable straight men. Side note, Rachel's On My Own was very helpful in coping with this and also led to my unhealthy tendency to romanticize unrequited love. Oh my God, me too. But the way he's just so certain that he can change Finn and how he doesn't back off after home is gross. Bert coming in at the moment he did is also kind of wounded gazelle gambit, which is the most annoying trope to me. So for those of you who don't know, the wounded gazelle gambit is somebody who pretends to be a victim to get others' sympathy and manipulate them into, example, turning against a supposed aggressor. But usually when that happens, the wounded gazelle is someone clearly in the wrong, and the narrative treats Kurt as if he's right, which sucks.
All right. I really appreciate this perspective.
Yeah,
and totally. I messaged Ray back about this, and we had like a little conversation about it too. And we did talk about how like Finn crosses a line when he uses the F slur.
Yeah.
And like Bert is totally correct that you cannot use hate speech and be like, but I didn't mean it in a hateful way. And it's like, I'm sorry, you used
did,
it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just say I was in a bad mood, and so excuse me for saying this. But I do, Ray, really appreciate your perspective that it is like we have seen evidence in this show that Kurt has a tendency to play the victim. Like in Laryngitis, Bert tries to talk to him and Kurt says like, I'm sorry, I'm not a good enough son for you. And Bert says, stop playing the victim. Stop doing that. Like we have evidence that this is a thing that Kurt
does. It's definitely
a
Kurt character flaw.
Yeah. And
at this point, yeah.
The next day at school, Finn tries to apologize to Kurt. In the choir room, he says, I want to talk about what happened last night. And Kurt refuses to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
But Ray, you are correct. It is never, that's not, when Kurt kind of like plays the victim against Bert and Laryngitis, he gets called out on it. Mm-hmm. And it is a really touchy subject because it's like Finn said
absolutely
a slur, everyone. But like Kurt absolutely refuses to let Finn apologize, refuses to let Finn have a conversation about it, but the writing never shows that Kurt was maybe wrong for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like what Felix said, that at no point is it ever talked about all the stuff that Finn is going through. And
yeah, totally.
He is just completely villainized 100%, and Kurt is like lifted up on an altar, and it is like a little shifty.
It definitely is. And I think Kurt deserves better, you know, like, and I think that the whole situation is honestly a very relatable situation. Like, you know, so many queer kids growing up crushed on people that it wasn't appropriate for them to crush on. And that's not wrong. And that happens, you know, so frequently when growing up, you have a crush on people who you shouldn't have a crush on anyway. Like that just happens, you know? And, you know, getting into a blended family is also like a really difficult, touchy subject that I think this situation, while I'm glad is in the show, I think it all could have used a bit more care and a bit more perspective, I think, from Vin's side as well. And I so appreciate this message because, you know, like, yeah, I had never even heard of the wounded gazelle trope before, you know? So I'm here to learn with you.
All right, let's hit up Amy's voicemail.
Amy!
Hi, my name's Amy. I'm from New Zealand, so feel free to make fun of my accent. Hopefully you don't make it sound just like an Aussie, but considering how absolutely respectful you are at repeating accents, I'm sure you'll do great. I love you guys so much. You're so brilliant and wonderful, and it's just lovely hearing you guys. It's like a warm sunshine listening to you guys talk. It's so good, and I just agree with so much that you say. And I love it so much. I'm also a 20-something who, fuck, balls, shit, where am I going with this? I should have written something down. You guys are great. Oh, God, the time is running out. This is very stressful. Why did it turn red? You guys are so cool. I had something to actually say, but fuck, I've forgotten it now. You're neat. Thank you. Neat. Yes?
Oh. International listener!
Amy, I'm sorry I had to put that in. It made me laugh for like an hour straight when I first heard it. But you know, while you're here, everyone, if you have a thought that you... We get a lot of voicemails that are like, oh crap, I didn't realize this was a minute, I'm running out of time. Just know you can send us an email if you have a longer thought.
Yeah, totally.
Like recovering
a minute is
Gleek
not a lot of time. @gmail.com.
All right. Yes. But Amy did later actually send a voicemail where she said her thought. I just had to put that first one in because it is so funny. Also, you may have noticed we're not beeping out these voicemails because they're ripe with comedic gold. I can't do that
honestly
to us.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Amy part two.
Hey, this is Amy again. I'm sorry, you don't have to put this on. I'm sure it's annoying me doing two messages, but I'm in the middle of episode 19, Dream On, of you guys talking about it, and it just made me think of this really crazy story. How you guys were talking about how uncomfortable it is, and you're totally right that Shelby is really badly and weirdly doing this roundabout way of getting in touch with the person that she donated her eggs to. Like, she's a surrogate, not the mother. She don't raise her. Point is, because again, see the time I'm running out. God, it's scary. My mum's adopted. Her, not her birth father, but the person her mother was forced to marry, he was a murderer. Tried to get in contact with her. Thank fucking goodness she was like, what the fuck is this? I have not gone in contact with you. You can't just get in contact with me. I don't care who you are. But still, yes, be scared. Uh-huh.
Okay, first of all, it cuts off.
I have so many questions.
There is so much to unpack there.
I know.
Your mother's birth mother's husband was a murderer and tried to get in contact with her?
Yeah.
I don't even have anything to say.
How do you come back from that?
That is the best icebreaker.
Good on your mom for saying no, though.
I would tell... At every party I went to, absolutely, I would start every conversation with that. I'd be like, hi, I'm Ian, and my birth mother's new husband is a murderer, and he tried to get in contact with me. That's so insane.
That's ice-breaking gold.
Also, let's see if I can do a New Zealand accent. Will it be offensive? Oh. Probably. Sorry, Amy. sorry, when I do it, let's see if I can do it. The way I get into it is I try and impersonate Carrie Butler in Xanadu because she's supposed to be Australian, but she takes it too far and she ends up going New Zealand.
Yeah.
Sonny Malone, why do you speak to me in this semi-intimate manner? So you kind of talk like that. How was that, Amy? Did I do it fine enough? Oh, it fell apart at the end there. There's my New Zealand accent.
Very good. At least to me, nobody who's never been to New Zealand sounded pretty good.
Thank you. All right. Up next, we got a voicemail from Charlie.
Hey, Ian and Lena. This is Charlie from Alabama again. I was listening to the second mini-sode, and Ian, I also sang Jantanimula in a Alabama All-State choir like 10 years ago, so I probably messed up the pronunciation. But yeah, I also, it was the only French song I ever learned, so it's good to know that all choir kids live the same lives. I noticed there isn't a jingle for us U.S. listeners, so I have a suggestion. I think it's to go something like, U.S. listener. So, yeah, I have a cool question for y'all. what is one song for any character that was never done that you really think it would have helped their storyline or they would have killed it? Mine has always been, I think, Amber Riley as Mercedes. She'd have sang His Eyes on the Sparrow. I think it would have been amazing in The Quarterback or even just like any church song for her. That's an amazing song in general. And I think Amber Riley would have killed it. So yeah, I love y'all so much. Happy 2021. Happy New Year. I love y'all. See ya.
Aww. Happy New Year, Charlie. Our mini-sodes are so close to maxi-sodes, we cannot shove in another jingle. But
yes,
as a little one-time-only treat, here you go.
U.S. Listener!
Also, real fast, we're going to answer your question. We're very excited. But I got a shout-out. So when was that? At some episode, I talked about how I sang that French song. Oh, it was last minisode. Nora sent in a message and she is from Canada and she speaks French and she spoke some French. And I like said the lyrics to that song and Nora messaged us. It said, I believe the song you sang was called, I'm gonna try my best, J'entends le moule, which translates to I hear the windmill. But the words you sang on the podcast were not words. They were just noises. Okay, let's get to Charlie's question. Lena, do you want to go first?
Yes, so I picked two. I couldn't narrow it down to one, but I was looking through my tunes. I was like, what songs do I love? What characters do I think need to sing them? So I picked a song for Finn and a song for Quinn. So I said that Finn should sing, oh, Sherry, I love, hold on. You know that song?
No.
No?
But I'm on board.
Who sings that? By Steve Perry. It's an 80s song. It's very good. But like, you know, I love my boy Finn and some 80s rock. I think he would do so good. And then I said that Quinn should sing Not a Day Goes By from Merrily We Roll Along.
Oh my gosh.
I just love when that girl is sad. I don't know.
Men.
She is so beautiful. She can cry the drop of a hat, like Ryan Murphy says. I just, watching her eyes turn just so green when she cries is peak television to me.
You need more.
So I need some more. I need more. Yep. Sorry. What did you say, Ian?
Okay. You guys, I know that it's like kind of a meme that I like this song, but it came to me and I got so excited. I couldn't not do it. Picture this. Spoiler alert a little bit. Okay. It is like, it's one of those times when Britney is dating a dude and Santana is jealous of it. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yes.
Imagine it's one of those times. Okay. And a very pissed off Santana sings, and I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. And like in Jagged Little Pill, that song has the lyrics changed. So that is about a woman who's singing to her ex-girlfriend who left her for a man.
Yeah, totally.
So just do those lyric versions.
Those lyrics.
Naya Rivera would freaking kill it. It is such a like passionate, angry song. It fits the character of Santana so well. It would be amazing. I cannot deal with it. I want to see that so bad.
With the words you just said, I could not imagine living through that. Oh my gosh.
Just like the way that Glee films songs where it's like Britney and her boyfriend sitting in the choir room flirting and Santana is like walking around them, but it's the whole like thing where she's like singing in her mind. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It'd be so amazing. Good. It'd be so good.
That would be too good.
Love that you gave that we made wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide. Just while Britney is like laughing you with someone. Love. Oh my gosh, I can't think about it too much. It makes me too excited.
Honestly, hear me out. Like a couple weeks ago, we talked about Santana singing Bad Reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like we don't deserve Santana singing those songs. Like the show isn't that good. You know,
here's the other one. The other one is Queen Bee Quinn, and it is
there. It is. Tell me
a Lily Allen song called "Never Gonna Happen."
I love Lily Allen.
I do love Lily Allen. And here's the deal.
That song. I love
Lily Allen. Her vocals are very soft, which fits very well in Diana Agron's voice. her songs are very sarcastic and like a little cold-hearted, which fits very well with Quinn's character. And I hate Puck and Quinn. So in my headcanon,
I hate Puck and Quinn.
In my, like, I hate them together. So yeah. In my headcanon, this song is a montage of Puck trying to get back with Quinn.
Yes.
And she's blowing him off because the lyrics are like, how on earth could I be any more obvious? It never really did, and now it's never gonna happen with the two of us. And like, oh, that would sound so good in her voice. It works with the context. She is like, hey, yeah, you got me pregnant. We were never an item. It never really happened. It's never going to happen. I don't know why you can't move on from this.
Yep. I love that. I think that's a really cool thing.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
All right, up next we got Sophie's message. Here we go, Sophie!
Hi, Lena. Hi, Ian. My name is Sophie, and I use she, her pronouns. This episode is something that I started rewatching Glee like a couple weeks ago to catch up after listening to the podcast, and after I saw the move-in party thing, I immediately skipped to Funk because everything just gives me such icky vibes and I get such chills watching it, and it makes me so upset. I just find this episode really cringe. And one thing that makes me extremely upset with like the Shelby storyline is the fact that Shelby made Rachel the dress for the bad romance scene after her dad's made her that Beanie Baby dress. And that was like the one moment where she was like, oh my God, this is like a mom thing. And then she goes, she walks in and she goes, my mom made it. It was so sad. But yeah, that's my take on the show.
I couldn't imagine being Rachel's dads in that moment and, you know, doing their best to make Rachel that outfit and then for her to hate it that much and then go running to Shelby. I think that would probably be the most, like, heartbreaking thing ever. Oh my gosh.
Here's the deal. We're told that, like, Rachel's dads can't sew, and it's so it's stapled on, and it's falling apart, and blah, blah, blah. So, Shelby, why didn't you just sew that same dress better?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that she literally, it's once again, it's the cup thing. She's like, oh, you had this special moment with your dads? Let me poison it by making it all about myself. She does not, like, re-sew the Beanie Babies so they're stronger. She makes Rachel an entirely new dress to be like, cool, forget about your dads and everything they've done for you for 16 years. Absolutely. Just focus on me because I'm freaking incredible. Shelby sucks. All right.
Yeah.
Up next, we got a voicemail.
Speaking of dads.
From a stranger that neither of us have ever met.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, Lena and Ian. This is Ivan. I'm a big time, long time fan of your podcast. I was just listening to your whole theatricality episode, and I gotta tell you, I take issue with Lena's knowledge of Kiss. One, Lena, you were raised better. Everybody knows it's Peter Chris, not just Chris, or maybe I heard you wrong. I hope I heard you wrong, but it's Peter Chris, and he was the Catman. And if they're gonna represent Kiss, they should put that silly Finn to play the bass. And some other schmo and the Catman to play the drums. Anyway, love the show. Real proud of you. I'm your dad. And all right, keep it up. I dig it. I dig it the most.
My favorite part of this voicemail is at no point does he specify whose dad he is.
It could be mine, could be Ian's. I don't know.
It could be that it's my dad who has the audacity to tell someone else that they were raised better. Can you imagine? My dad calls in and he's like, hey, Ian, I'm really proud of you. Also, I just want to say to your punk co-host, you were raised better than this.
That's exactly what happened. That's your
that
dad.
That is what happened. That was a message left by my dad.
No, that was my dad.
I got this message
and I was like, you know what, Dad? You're right. hear me out, Dad. I literally read direct from the KISS Wikipedia page. So take it up with the KISS Wikipedia page. you're right. I didn't know the Catman's name. Why would I know that, Dad? Oh my gosh. But I mean, I said that in the episode, dude. Like, I said that that Finn should have been the Catman, or they should have, like, switched things around. I said that.
Dad. All right. Up next, we got a message from...
Thanks for your message, weirdo.
Up next, we got a message from Jamie.
Hello, my name is Jamie, she, her pronouns, and I am listening to the theatricality episode, and I had to pause the podcast because you're talking about Lady Gaga and sort of the perceptions of her, and I went to NYU a couple years after her, and there was sort of notoriously a Facebook group at the time in like the early 2000s, I think she went there in 2005 or 6, and the Facebook group was Stephanie Germanotta Will Never Be Famous, which is obviously awful, but yeah, I just had to share that because you two were talking about, you know, Lady Gaga's origins and the come up, and how she now is like obviously one of the most talented and famous people in the world. Oh, I only have a minute, but thank you, the pod is great, and wanted to share that fun fact. Okay, thanks, bye.
Truly a fun fact. I love that fact. Not because she was bullied. I hate that, obviously. But I love that Lady Gaga brings that up all the time. I feel like it, like, every time she brings it up, I'm like, yes, Lady Gaga. I knew this. Thank you. Like, I feel like I know her somehow. And I love Lady Gaga for so many reasons. And I think she is, like, a perfect pairing with Glee because... I mean, she truly was living that life. I mean, not to like compare her to Rachel Berry, but like Rachel got so much online hate, and it was really a thing in like the early 2000s and like around this time, you know, early to late to mid 2000s, like that, you know, cyberbullying was huge and like Rachel was doing it. And then the biggest, like one of the biggest stars we know, Lady Gaga, had that as well. Like that is so hateful and terrible. But like also, who's on top now? Facebook page. Not you. It's
the people who started the Stephanie Germanotta Will Never Be Famous group will never be famous group.
Yeah, literally.
That's who are the they? Facebook I wouldn't group even know. I'm a part of.
Are you a part of that? Shut up.
No, the one I talked about. Group name is the people who started the Stephanie Germanotta Will Never Be Famous group will never be famous group.
Sorry, come on. I'm not a very active listener.
fine. Okay. Up next, we have an email from Tomas. So, guys, he says, "Hi, guys. My name is Tomas. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm from Chile. I really wanted to send you a voicemail, but it would make me so anxious, so I decided to write you an email instead. I also apologize in advance if there is any mistake with the language, but I'll try my best with it. Tomas, I've read this email like 3 times. I have not seen any mistakes, so kudos to you. I discovered your podcast a few weeks ago, and I can't stop listening to it. But now I've got to the point that I have to wait for new episodes to come out, and I'm dying while waiting for a new one. Ha ha ha. Something I love, because he's a native Spanish speaker.
Yeah.
It's the J ha 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 ha. I love that instead so of the much. H ha 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 ha. Love it. I really love your podcast. You guys are hilarious, and I enjoy your anecdotes about college and the plays you've worked on very much. I also wanted to thank you, because now I realized how, as a preteen, I didn't understand any of the bad things of the show. But by rewatching it and listening to your thoughts about each episode, I now think about Glee in a very different way. Lastly, sorry, this last paragraph is so embarrassing for me personally. Lastly, I wanted to point out that when I thought about sending you a voicemail, I downloaded the Anchor app and noticed you can see the name of the original audio files of each episode of the podcast. I think they are so funny and show how many times you edited some of them. I especially laughed with the ones of The Power of Madonna, Throwdown, and Vitamin D. Anyways, I just wanted to say that I love you guys and your podcast. I can't wait for you to get to season 2 and talk about the new characters. Best regards, Tomas. P.S. I really love your jingles, especially the one for international listeners. Well, here it is, Tomas.
Here it is.
International listeners. So what Tomas is saying is if you go on the Anchor app, if you go to our profile on the Anchor app, it has all of our episodes. And then if you click on an episode, it will tell you what files are in that episode, like what sound files. I didn't know it did that. And it will tell you the, like, it will tell you, like, what I named the file when I exported it to upload. Here are the ones that he brought up. The Power of Madonna is titled, Power of Madonna, I'm gonna throw my computer at the wall. Throwdown is titled, in all caps, Glee Smackdown Final without Echo.
We kept calling it SmackDown.
And then Vitamin D is titled Glee, the Terry Schuster Hour.
Oh, that is so... I had no idea.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, Tomas, I'm glad you are so observant. That made me laugh so hard. This is Ian from the future. At this point, Lena's computer stopped recording and we didn't realize it until a half hour later.
Hey, what's up, you guys? So I made... an error, and we've been recording for the last half hour, and my footage is lost. So we're going to have to redo this. I'm sorry to you. I am sorry mostly to my dear pal, Ian Allred, for having to rehave these conversations. I love you, sir. I'm very sorry. I feel so free.
We're going to do our absolute best to pretend it's our first time talking about these things. Let's find out how it goes.
To be very frank with you, I'm surprised this hasn't happened before. I've been very grateful it hasn't happened. But someday, you know, I mean, with doing podcasts, I think it's, this is normal, right? I'm not a big dummy, but I'm a big dummy.
I have listened to one of my favorite podcasts. The episode literally starts with them saying, okay, so, we recorded this entire episode and then realized that one of our mics was not on. So we've already had this whole conversation and we're going to do our best to make it interesting the second time. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Where are we
starting? With Liam's email.
Hello, my name is Liam. I use he, him pronouns and I am a Gleek. And I absolutely am in love with your podcast. I started rewatching Glee to be on track with the podcast episodes, and it's making me realize how literally I literally base my entire personality off of Kurt. I was way too young to be watching the show when it first aired, but my best friend was obsessed. I remember she had a big poster on her door that had all the characters, and she would point to them and tell me about them. Doggy, I'm sorry. When it came to Kurt, she cheerfully said, "He's gay," and I had no idea what that meant, but as she explained it to me, my entire worldview exploded. Boys could like boys? I didn't even know I was a boy then, but when I watched the show later, Kurt became a huge inspiration to my transition and presentation. Realizing this has been kind of embarrassing, but this podcast has helped me realize that despite its flaws, Glee did a lot for so many people and damaged us irreparably, but that's probably fine. Anyway, love you both so much. Keep up the amazing work. Liam. Liam, thank you so much for this message. I think it is really important to note when, like, critically watching Glee that, like, so much of it is hot, terrible garbage that messed us all up, but so much of it also, like, shaped who we are as people. Like, literally, look at Glee. It helped you, like, realize things about yourself that you didn't have words for, and then Glee gave you words for it, and that's so awesome and so beautiful. And while Glee sucks awfully, you know, we have to acknowledge that, like, it did... I feel like it did so much for me in my, like, growing up, and I think that's so beautiful. So thank you so much, Liam, for your message.
100%. Thank you, Liam. Up next, we got a message from Aaron. Now, on take one, I tried to read part of this in a British accent because Aaron's from the UK. Should I do it again for take two?
I think you should.
Let's do it. As I said in take one, I was like, here's the deal. I know that there are regional accents in England. I am not smart enough to be able to do them. So I'm going to do generic British. My apologies.
Generic British. British Tony strikes
British
again.
British Tony. Hey, my name is Erin. Can you imagine? All right. Hey, my name is Erin. I'm 15 years old. I'm from the UK and I'm a Gleek. I watched all of Glee for the first time this year and immediately wanted to find a podcast to listen to afterwards. I listened to it on 2x speed, which is an experience, let me tell you. So I accidentally listened to episodes 3 through 12 in one day. Whoops. You're both hilarious and I find all of your stories so funny.
Two others of my friends watched it at the same time as me this year, so we made a group chat called the Not So Unholy Trinity, and I honestly think that's both of you and EP Tiffany. Shout out!
Shout out EP Tiff!
To EP Tiffany Allen, the Quinn Fabre of our Unholy Trinity. I am Santana, Lena's Brittany.
Obviously.
Let's hit it. Also, that's enough British accent. Moving on. I just wanted to say that from a teenager's perspective in the UK, Glee has lost so much status. In my entire year group of 240 or 250 people, about 20 of us max would have seen an episode of Glee. However, because we are theater kids with no theater program that does shows at school, my friends and I speak about Glee constantly, and we have managed to convince some others to watch the show. Side note, Aaron, that's so interesting, because when the Glee actors talk about when the show first started airing and they were touring and they were like going all around the world, they specifically talk about London and how huge the show was in London specifically. And it's so bizarre because like in the US, obviously the show is not popular anymore, but still a lot of people have seen it. So the fact that it has like fallen off the UK's radar so much that 20 people max in your entire class have seen it. Is craziness to me. Yeah, all right,
totally.
Back to Aaron. I had an idea while listening to Bad Reputation that you should remake the Glist, but have it on how you favor the characters. My friends and I did it a while ago, and we fell out for a solid week over the fact that one of them had put Quinn 8th. Shocker. Anyways, this is a really long email, so thanks for reading it. And that's what you missed on Glee! Aaron, woo! You better believe we made these glists, and you better believe we that we disagreed about what the criteria was supposed to be.
Yeah, well, I'm obviously not a close reader, so I didn't do what you asked. I just made a very objective, who is the most sexually promiscuous list. So here we go, players. So I obviously put Santana first. Duh. Mm-hmm. And then I put Puck next. Duh. And then I put Brittany next. Duh. And then, hear me out. I was really, I don't know why. I was just like randomly offended that Mike and Matt were so low. So I put them up here. I put Mike and then Matt. And then I put Jesse, just because we don't know anything about Jesse. We don't know his sex life. Yeah, he is walking sex. Have you seen him? But we don't know much about him. And then I put Quinn. And then I put Finn. That's just what I put. So... Ian, you ranked the characters on how much you like them, so I want to hear.
Okay, so I did it based on my favorite to least favorite character. I just did the New Directions, and I specifically, because, like, looking at it from the whole show, I don't remember a lot of what happens in, like, seasons 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
So I did it just up to Bad Reputation, what my thoughts on the characters are. First place, Rachel Berry. I know it's a controversial pick. It shouldn't be a surprise. I'm very vocal about that fact. Number two, Santana. I love a villain. Number three, Brittany. I love a non-sequitur character. Number four, Jesse. I love a villain again. Number five, my INTJ twin, Queen Bee Quinn. She's got the best character arc of the whole season. Number six, Kurt Hummel. Little sweetie. He does some stuff that's a little iffy, but I can't help but love him. Number seven, Mercedes, of course. Number eight, Finn Hudson.
Duh.
Number nine, Tina Cohen-Chang. Number 10, Artie Abrams. Number 11, Puck. Number 12, Mike. Number 13, Matt. I'm sorry, Dijon Talton. I'm sorry, Harry Shum Jr. No fault of your own. The writers did not allow me to like you as characters because they gave you nothing to work with. I did, as a bonus round, also rank the adults. So
I want to hear it.
We're gonna speed through them. Number one, Sue. Number two, Terry. Number three, Bert. Number four, Howard Bamboo. Number five, Figgins. Number six, Emma. Number seven, April. Number eight, Sandy Ryerson. Number nine, I felt bad about this, but we simply haven't seen a lot of her, Carol. Number 10, Will. And you better believe that Will got unseated as my least favorite character, because number 11 is Miss Shelby Corcoran. There it is, Aaron.
What a bitch.
All right. Up next, we got a voicemail from Justin.
Hi, my name is Justin. My pronouns are he, him. I am from good old Minnesota. I just want to say how much I love you guys. Thank you for making me laugh. Thank you for doing this. The only thing that annoys me is that I wish I came up with this first, because this is a genius idea, you guys. Glee came out when I was a freshman in college, That's How Old I Am, hot take. Season 5 is actually really good, and it doesn't get the credit it deserves. I said what I said. Lena, when you got choked up talking about episode Home, it choked me up because I can relate so, so much, and it just made me want to give you a hug. I miss hugs so much. Thank you, Miss Rona. I love you guys. Thank you for creating this podcast. You'll probably hear a lot from me because I'm probably your biggest fan and or stalker or the guy that annoys you. Either way, I love you guys. Bye.
Justin, thank you so much for your message. I want you to know, I feel your hug from here. Even though Miss Rona took our hugs away, I feel all the love from your message, and I really appreciate it. So thank you so much for sharing.
And, you know, we talk a big game about being respectful of everyone's opinions and everyone's different perspectives. And Justin, I want to applaud you on having the courage and the bravery to truly vocalize the absolute spiciest take of this show I have ever heard in my life. I need
a glass of water.
I don't. It's burning my throat. I feel it going down to my stomach. I think I'm going to be on the toilet for a long time tonight. It was so spicy. I don't personally agree with it, but I respect it. Good on you.
And you know what? That's what's so cool about these minisodes. You know, you can do, you can say as anything you want, as long as you're saying it respectfully here.
You are in fact encouraged to respectfully disagree with us.
Absolutely.
All right. Up next, we got a voicemail from Addie.
Hi, Ian and Lena. My name is Addie, pronouns she, her, and I absolutely love your podcast. I love it so much, in fact, that I'm rewatching Glee, and I'm making my girlfriend watch it with me. She's getting a lot of glacks as we watch. I wanted to say that I love how much you guys also hate the Shelby plot line. It's never sat right with me since the first time I watched it years ago. And as a queer person who wants to adopt a child someday, it is disgusting and heartbreaking and frustrating the way this plotline is treated, and that Rachel's adoptive fathers are absolutely disregarded by everyone in the show, and that Shelby is seen as her real mom when she has two perfectly great real parents. So I really love how you guys have discussed that part of the show and just how much grace you treat all of the issues that Glee tackles. I really, really think it's great how respectful you guys are, because the lesbian representation in the show and all the representation in the show is just so important to me. Also, you should call the recaps Glee Caps. Okay, bye.
That is absolutely revolutionary, Addie. Thank you so much. I had never even thought about calling them Glee Caps. And thank you for your message. I love this so much because it really does a number on the show, really does a number on the queer parents. Like, it sucks that they are so disregarded in the show. And I also hate how they treat like Shelby as Rachel's like quote unquote real mom. I really don't like that phrase when it comes to like, you know, adoptive parents. Like, none of those people are imaginary. No one is her real parent. They're just her parents. And honestly, Shelby I don't even think she deserves the term mom. So whatever. But yeah, I completely agree with you. It really does a number on the queer representation in that aspect. And I really appreciate your message.
I agree. I have nothing to add. I just agree with everything you said. Thank you, Addie.
Thank you, Addie.
Up next, we got, I just realized this one is literally titled New Year Accent Challenge. We got a message from Cuiva, who's from Ireland.
Hello, my name is Cuiva, spelled C-A-O-I-M-H-E. Yeah, I know. And my pronouns are she, her, and I'm a first-year musical theater student here in Ireland. Another accent for you to try, and if you don't, I will feel personally victimized, so go on. So I've been looking for an excuse to review because I love your podcast, love you guys. And I got my excuse in episode 19, Dream On. Because, a little backstory, I was always that kid, like I was 8 when Glee came out, so I was always that kid who sang Don't Rain on My Parade from top of my treehouse. I've always been a Rachel Berry, I've always been obsessed with Finn Hudson, I've always been Rachel Berry. But then I took the open psychometrics test when you guys took them, and I got Mercedes, and I was like, oh my god, this is so cool, I am Mercedes Jones, that makes me so happy. And then I listened to Dream On, and Lena, I am a Virgo ENFJ. You know what that means. But yeah, love you guys, love the podcast, and excited to keep listening.
All right, let's see if I can do this again. I've never really done an Irish accent before, but I've done a Scottish accent. I played a Scottish character in a show, and there was another character who was Irish. And basically he said that all you had to do was do a Scottish accent but put it more forward. And I don't know if that's true, so if this is offensive, I'm sorry, Quiva, but I'm trying my best. Proud of you for getting Mercedes John. She's a really good character. She's one of the best characters on this whole show. And I don't know what an ENFJ or Virgo means, but Lena does, so she's going to tell us about it.
So, if you remember, a couple episodes ago... Great job, Ian.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, if you remember from a couple weeks ago, I said that I think Rachel is a Virgo. And I'm pretty sure of that. And Rachel is also an ENFJ. So, Quiva is a Virgo ENFJ, so it makes so much sense to me that you would, like, identify as Rachel, because straight up, Rachel is a Virgo ENFJ. But also, we were talking... It doesn't surprise me. In take one, we...
Isn't it exciting that we now have two lost episodes?
And we can't get this one back, you guys. But in take one of this, Ian brought up a really good point. Ian, totally bring that up again.
Okay, I think that Rachel Berry is Mercedes Jones with white privilege. Like, I think that Rachel and Mercedes, they're both very driven. They are both kind of divas. And they both are very talented.
Yeah.
The difference is that Rachel has never had anyone say no to her, so she's never learned to humble herself.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of what is innate as to who they are as people is the same. So it makes sense that you would be a Virgo ENFJ and be Mercedes Jones. I just think that since, you know, Mercedes Jones was a person of color in a small town in Ohio, she kind of experienced being disregarded a lot more than Rachel ever did. And so Rachel became very spoiled and overbearing, whereas Mercedes kept all those qualities but became a much more well-rounded person. So this next voicemail, we got a DM from this person the very next day, and they said to us, they were like, hey, so that voicemail that I sent you last night, I was celebrating New Year's alone in my room, and I went a little too hard. So if the voicemail is embarrassing, I'm sorry. But if it's funny, I'm not sorry. Lily, I got good news for you. It was very funny.
So funny. You have so nothing much to so be sorry about.
That Lena put her foot down and said we had to put this one in the episode because it is so funny.
Yeah,
so honestly. Here's Lily.
Here we go.
Hey, y'all. This is not really, like, an important... It's a really important message, but, like... I just wanted Lena to know that I also got a weighted blanket for Christmas, but mainly that I also felt the feeling that I could turn a gay guy straight, and mine was David Hyde Pierce. I know that he's, like, 60 and married to a man, but I love him. I love him.
Like, oh my god.
1990s Niles Crane from Frasier. Everything. Everything.
What is there to say?
I don't know. Merry Christmas. I hope you're enjoying your weighted blanket. God bless you for that message. Let's just leave that. I don't think we can add anything to that to make it any better. It's the perfect message.
Our last voicemail is from Rowan.
Hi, Lena. Hi, Ian. It's Rowan, they, them. And because so many people last week took the opportunity to come out about their love for Will Schuster, I decided I would share some of my less popular Glee opinions. First of all, my underrated king, Azemio Adams. They give him the best worst lines. Lines like in theatricality. I know you didn't mention this because you were too busy talking about the serious things in the episode. But when he says, being in Glee Club and football doesn't make you versatile. It just makes you bisexual. Which could be a terrible line if the actor didn't deliver it with such earnestness. Like he does all the other terrible lines they give him, and I think it's so beautiful. Second of all, I hate Artie. I can't stand Artie. I think the writing for him is lazy. It's like, oh, he's in a wheelchair and he has glasses, so he's a nerd. But he's hip enough to talk with the blacks, and I can't stand it. I feel like Sue talking like this. All right. I love the show, and those are just some of my things that I have to say. All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
That's how Rowan sees it. I think these takes are very good.
I love controversial opinions. I agree. The male bullies in particular in this show
Yeah.
The lines they are given, it is clear that we are laughing at them because they are so dumb.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Also, Rowan titled this, they put as the name of the voicemail, also Bad Reputation song, like what they would do for the Bad Reputation assignment is And Eve Was Weak from Carrie the Musical, specifically the Betty Buckwheat key.
Yeah.
Very good choice. That musical is very bad. That song is very good.
You don't like Carrie the Musical?
No, it has so many problems. You know who else didn't like Carrie the Musical? The audience. Who? That's why it closed after week and a half.
I want to be Carrie and Carrie so bad. It's painful to me.
Doesn't anybody ever get it right? Doesn't anybody that I'm him?
Here, you can do it.
All right.
So up next, we have an email from Amanda.
Take us home, baby.
This email was, I literally opened it and I was like, it is like full of like awesomeness. It's all so funny and so awesome. So we picked out just a few paragraphs that we really loved from this email. So let's get into it. Okay. You guys haven't discussed this, but you all talk about how shitty it is that everyone hid it from Finn that he wasn't the baby daddy. Does it ever come up that Quinn was hiding it from Will and that his wife wasn't even pregnant? Like, I feel like in season 3, when she was all like, you ruined my life. And he was like, fuck you. You started your own problems. Would have been a great time for him to be like, also, you didn't say a damn thing when you literally helped hide the fact that my wife wasn't even pregnant, which contributed to the end of my marriage. I know in Wheels, you were talking about like why they didn't have a person who is in a wheelchair play Artie. My thought is, in quotation marks, as a person who is not in a wheelchair, full disclosure, pardon me, aren't there scenes where Artie has like these dreamscapes where he can walk and dance, especially in the Artie-centered episodes where he's really hating his life a lot and they...
Really hating his lot in life.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know how to read. Can you read it? I'm really sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Aren't there scenes where Artie has like these dreamscapes where he can walk and dance, especially in the Artie-centered episodes where he's really hating his lot in life? And they do that episode in season 3 where Tina hits her head and they all switch bodies and suddenly Artie is Santana. I'm sure the casting people weren't thinking that far ahead or whatever. But Glee's the kind of show to have all of those out-of-body experiences, so maybe they didn't want to limit those? I don't know. If Matthew Morrison could have remade any Christmas movie and been any other part than the Grinch, which do you think would have been a better choice for him? I personally think he's so creepy, he might be a good Scrooge in Christmas Carol based on creepiness alone and not singing voice or acting chops. Thank you for this podcast. 2020 needed it. I truly feel like when I'm listening to it, I'm listening to my friends talking to me. When you guys talk about your experiences and your emotions, and especially when you tie them into Glee, they feel so universal. I remember experiencing a lot of the same things and thinking I was a weirdo for it when in reality I wasn't that alone in it. You guys are so fun, so funny, and I have already spent so much time just cackling to myself while listening to you both. I'm one of those weirdos who considers you guys friends even though I've never met you. Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah, thank you.
There it is. Let's tackle it one by one.
I do feel like Terry would kind of like Quinn would probably feel pressure from Terry not to talk to Will about it. You know, and like when an older person like tells you to keep a secret, you kind of feel pressured in that moment. I don't know.
I also just think that Quinn is pretty emotionally immature. She like specifically tells Terry, like, please never tell Will that I did this. Like, she's hiding from Finn that he's the baby's daddy. I don't think it's beyond thought that she is the person who thinks like you help people by lying to them so you don't hurt your feelings instead of telling them an ugly truth. Up next, the Artie of it all. Amanda, I have thought the same thing. I have thought the same thing that, like, many times Kevin McHale has these dance numbers and they are dream sequences and there are, like, these fantasy sequences that, like, he gets up and moves around and those wouldn't be possible. But I think you are correct. I don't think the casting directors were thinking that far in advance. I think I think they added those dream sequences because they cast Kevin McHale and Kevin McHale can dance. I don't think they cast Kevin McHale because they wanted to have dream sequences.
Yeah, I think it happened that way. I think them thinking they wanted to have a character in a wheelchair, do that kind of stuff happened just because it's Kevin McHale, and he's very talented. I think it's giving them way too much credit that they would come up with that. Because they, I don't know if you guys know this, they suck. The Matthew Morrison of it all. Okay, so Ian and I talked about this a little bit, but we didn't tell each other who we chose. Ian, who did you pick if you were to put Matthew Morrison in any Christmas movie?
Okay, so I told Lena that this, I was like, I don't know if this counts because it's not explicitly just a Christmas show. I'm specifically talking about the stage show. Like, they would do a live recording of the stage show and not the movie, because the movie has some, like, pretty racist stuff in it. Yeah. But there is a movie, and then there's a musical based on that movie called Holiday Inn. And it's about,
I love,
like,
Holiday Inn.
Right? And it's about, like, a holiday that's only, it's about an inn that's only open on holidays.
He'd be really good in that.
And he should play Corbin Blue's part, you know? There is, because it is like old-timey song and dance. The musical is recent, mm-hmm. but the movie that it's based on is from, like, the 50s. And so it all has that kind of feel. It's old-timey song and dance. And there's mm-hmm. one character specifically who is supposed to be a womanizer and is supposed to be a very good dancer. And if Matthew Morrison is good at two things, he is good at, like, old-timey Broadway dancing, even though he barely does it. And he's good at having, like, a sexual undercurrent to every single part he ever plays, whether it's appropriate or not. And thankfully, in Holiday Inn, it would be very appropriate. And I think he actually would do a pretty good job with that show.
I think so, too. I think that's a really... my take is not as well thought out, I think. Like, I think that he would actually do very good. I said that he should be the ghost of Marley in Christmas Carol. Just because, like, seeing that man in chains would be so funny. And he would only be in, like, you know, a little bit of it. And he could be, like, creepy and dusty. And I would like it. That's what I said. And then the last bit of this message is so sweet. I'm so glad that you feel like you feel our love and care for you, because it's definitely there. When people say that they feel like they're our friends, I feel like you're our friends too. So I really appreciate that. And, like, hearing that you felt like a weirdo, but now you feel less weird because Ian and I talk about our feelings too. Like, that's so awesome. And I'm so grateful for that.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for your voicemails, for your emails. Sorry we could not read or listen to them all. We do read and listen to them all. We just can't do it live. Sorry this episode was so long.
I'm sorry I messed up, Ian.
You're good.
Don't worry about it. I don't know what happened.
And Happy New Year. If you want to send us your thoughts on Funk, which is this week's episode, it comes out on a Wednesday, or on any past episode, you can send a voicemail to us, anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, or you can send us an email. Emails are nice because there's not a time limit. And also with an email, you can send us, like, a million paragraphs about all of your thoughts, and then we can just like airlift out the sections that are most pertinent if we need to condense it. You can send us an email. Our address is recoveringgleek@gmail.com. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being
Happy
a part
New
of
Year.
This. Happy
New
Year.
We really love you.
And go spread some not so mini glee.
Yeah. Here is a kiss on your forehead. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok @recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.